cliffcentral.com.
Yeah. Start of a brand new week. Things to do, people to see, places to go. Come on. No time to waste. You're either going to watch other people getting rich, or you're going to try and do it yourself. Right? Right. Okay, so the weekend's over, and we've got to do a five-day week this week, which is going to kill us, because the whole of April was just full of short weeks. So who knows how that's going to manifest in your life this week, and who's going to annoy you, and how are you going to get irritated that you're going to have to sit in traffic for 5 days instead of just four, and, you know, all that kind of thing. So you've got to deal with that. But man up, because no one's going to do it for you. Right?
Right.
Right. Hello, Mubs. What's wrong with your mic? It's not on there. Hang on. Let me see if I can switch you on here. Ah, there we go.
Hello. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
God, we missed you on Friday.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Yeah. Ben had an exciting weekend. His brother had a birthday party, which was just, by the sounds of things, unbelievable.
Oh. Yeah, he hired out the Wanderers cricket ground. Now, I don't think anyone else can actually do that or has done that. So we had the Wanderers to ourselves, and he had a cricket match with him and his friends. And what a day. I was commentating on the speakers with the commentary team. And then we had a big jaw at the end. It was really, really special. Like, this is my favorite cricket ground in the whole country. And we just had it for ourselves. It was amazing.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, did you do anything fun this weekend, Mubs?
No, not as fun as what Ben got up to.
No.
I kept it very low key. Yeah, very civilized weekend for a change.
I'm so thrilled to hear it. There was no drunken misdemeanors or falling out of cars or anything dodgy like that.
No. We've left those dark days behind us.
All right. Well, hopefully not forever, but fine. You know.
And just hundreds of thousands of Mother's Day messages all over my WhatsApp groups, even though I'm not a mother.
Exactly. We did a little tea yesterday afternoon for my mom, but otherwise, yesterday was probably the least productive day I've ever had in my life. I did zero. Nothing. Couldn't even have been bothered to reply to a single email.
Did you not get out of bed or what?
No, I got out of bed. I moved around a little bit, but hardly any strenuous activity. Hey, Flax, how was your weekend?
I was a bit of a bender. I just partied, drank, and partied more.
I saw Flax on Saturday night. We went to that model party of Casper's.
I got home at like 5 a.m.
Really?
Yo.
Okay, no. Then you partied harder than
me. It was
like
one of the last to leave the club. It
really?
Was free alcohol, so there was no stopping me.
No, it was good, huh?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yesterday was, as you said, not productive.
No, you wander through your house and you wander around the place with, you're a bit like a zombie.
And it was too cold to do anything.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You haven't unpacked the winter wardrobe quite yet, but you need it.
Now, listen, I need to talk. Can we talk about tracksuit pants for a second?
Uh-oh. What's the problem?
One of my ex-girlfriends used to say, oh, you got your alcoholic pants on. Because, you know, alcoholics, unrehabilitated alcoholics, wander around in those gray tracksuit pants all the time. You know the ones I mean.
The sweatpants, cotton ones.
Exactly.
Okay.
Most comfortable pants in the world, right?
Yeah.
But you can't wear those out of the house.
Mm-mm. Maybe when you were six, but not now.
I wouldn't even wear them to the garage. But they're so comfortable. You don't want to take them off, and you don't want to wear, like... I hate putting on jeans in winter.
Okay, hang on. Let me just... Who decided that you can't wear these pants outdoors?
I don't know. People will say things. Is there a rule?
Like, people who want to wear tracksuit pants will say things because it's jealousy.
Okay, so do we not have to worry about this? Am I allowed to wear them? Am I not? Does anyone have a definitive rule on this? Can someone help me, please?
You're not allowed to wear them.
Why not?
Because sometimes you can never get the size right with them. Sometimes it will look like you shat your pants because you have like a size too big. Yeah. And then they tight by the ankles and your socks show.
Yeah.
No,
so,
there's
so what do
too
we do?
Much to go wrong.
So we don't wear them at all, ever.
No, you can wear them at home, like to sleep and
I
stuff
mean
as
out of
pajamas.
The house, yeah.
No.
That's it, huh?
Well, I think as long as they're dark color, like today, I'm going tracksuit pants because I feel like death. And I came close to not making it today.
Ben is feeling sick.
I came so close to not making it today, but, you know, Monday's a very big day for me here. So I'm here, and I'm in tracksuit pants.
But you see, I was just going to say, sometimes you really feel like death, but maybe you have to make that trip to the garage, and you might be dying inside, and you don't care.
And then
it's
is it
the
okay?
absolute last thing on
totally
your mind,
fine.
How I look.
Totally fine.
Because I need to buy tracksuit pants then.
As long as they're of dark color.
Okay, the, yeah, fair enough. Not those gray alcoholic pants.
If they're too light, then it's just too casual. You need to have an element of, like, smartness. They're going to be dark. And Michael's point is spot on. If it looks like you've shat your pants because they're a little bit too...
Loose. Loosey-goosey, yeah.
Then, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
You should just get those, like, gym long pants.
Yeah.
This year, I'm going to try out that new gym look. The tights and then the shorts over the tights.
Oh, Michael, don't do it.
I think I can pull it off.
Don't do it.
I have no one... tights in my life. I wouldn't know how to. No. I wouldn't even know how to get into them.
Reduces chafing while running.
I'm thrilled. You're not doing that much running, are you?
I do a lot of running at gym.
Do
not
you?
As much as I should be doing though.
Okay,
but surely your chafing days are over.
Yeah, thank God they are over.
Because the fat kid has left the building.
Your thunder thighs.
You're bad, huh? Hey, listen. We're going to talk to this woman later on. Her name is Maritza Moorman. She was a VIP concierge on a whole lot of famous cruise lines. And she was also PA to Tom Cruise.
Wow. Oh, well, that's...
So the word cruise is definitely in her life in a big way. But don't you think that'll be interesting?
Fascinating.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to build it up and then she comes in and she's like, oh, I can't talk about that or I can't talk about this. But I think it would be quite cool to find out what it's like, first of all, to be a VIP concierge on these cruises. Because, you know, these big cruises have... upwards of 4,000 people on a ship at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the weird requests. Like, you can legit go say, I want an orgy in my room tonight. And they have to make it happen.
No, they don't.
But you're a VIP guest.
Yeah, but how do you begin that?
Say you want your bath filled with caviar. They have to go do that. You'll pay for it, but they'll do it.
Yeah. Well, they could probably find it. Hey, Sia.
Good morning.
Sia Sangweni. Finn is in this morning. Looking very bright.
Winter is here.
Yeah, I feel it.
Woke up this morning, it was 8 degrees.
Yo, okay, I didn't even notice that.
That's a proper problem.
I just know that in some ways it's easier to wake up when it's cold because... Mm-mm. No, I'll tell you why. Because once you get out of bed, it hits you in the face and you're up, you're awake. But getting out of bed is the hard part.
Do you know what the worst part of winter for me is? Once you're in the bathroom and you've showered or whatever and you now need to open the door. Because the
freezing.
Bathroom has been warm and fantastic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Open the door and that's death.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, lots of things to talk about today. And you can call us. You can message us on the screen from WeChat if you want to. You can also get hold of us on our app. Just tweet directly from the app. And you can call 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. We'll take your calls. Got a nice email here from somebody. Let me read this to you quickly. This is from Tess. She sent a picture of herself as well, which is cool. Hey team, have emailed and messaged the show a few times before, but once again I'd like to thank you for the incredible entertainment. Don't know what I'd do without my daily Cliff Central fix. I'm messaging to ask you if it would all be possible to have one day a week where there is not a guest booked for the third hour of the show. Maybe on Thursday when Justice comes in. He could be seen as the guest in that show, and the rest of the time could be devoted to continue with Mubs' news and the general banter that we love. Just an idea. Give it some thought. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Keep up the phenomenal work. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
And then she sent me a photo of what she looks like.
Now, is
that's
this...
Tess.
Oh, she's lovely.
She's pretty, huh?
Ooh.
So does this automatically go into the piece of ass portfolio? Or?
I think so. Can she go in?
She's definitely going
in. We haven't really plugged that again, but I suppose let me do it while we're on it now. The piece of ass portfolio is a is a collection of our best-looking listeners, whether they be animals, humans, women, men, transgenders, whoever you may be, you're welcome to join the piece of ass. You see, everyone has an ass.
Well, yes.
So you can't say that this is some kind of objectification, because ass is the only thing that's appropriate here. If I'd said hot, you know, I don't know.
Well, if you'd said hot people, we'd be discriminating against the pets.
Right. And if I said hoochie mama, then it would only be for the girls. If I said beefcake, it would only be for the guys. So we got to keep it gender neutral. So we've gone with piece of ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to know the current standings for piece of ass?
Of course.
Coming in at number one, we have Hottie McHottie Benita.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in at number two, we have Shannon, our UK listener with red hair.
Yes.
Number three, Tess, who just entered.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, some dude's dog that he sent me.
Nice.
And number five, I received a piece of pizza.
Oh.
Oh. No.
That doesn't really count for piece of ass.
It was an entry for
piece of ass. It's not alive. It has to be alive.
Yeah.
Got a feel for the Dash and Third, because it was top three until Tess came along.
Oh, man. All right. So listen, Anthea will be on Skype with us this morning because she's in Cape Town. She went down for Mother's Day. And if you did something fun for Mother's Day, let us know about it. Anybody do anything nice for their moms?
I phoned mine.
You phoned yours, Ben, because yours is miles away.
Yeah, I did the same with mine. That's the best I can do.
I'm in the dog box with my mother.
Uh-oh, what have you done?
So it was Saturday night, you know, went out, you know, had a birthday party before, then went to the Boss Models party, and my mom goes...
Did you have fun, by the way?
I was very responsible.
No, I could see that. You
looking Flax after was certain not. Other people like Flax Michael
was,
Flax.
Flax was, he was almost, I went up to him at one point in the evening and I said, hey, Flax. And he went,
Yo, I was
took
done,
a,
eh?
Took a long time to look, sort of, and he looked around very slowly and went, hey.
We went to the same birthday party before and Michael was already tipsy. He gets into my car and he goes, Sia, are you ready for this? I'm like, Michael, what are you talking about? He grabs my aux cable. He plugs in his phone. He goes, shh. I'm like, okay, well, it's just the two of us. I'm already quiet. He plays DMX in my little car. I'm like, what?
Nice.
What is
that
wrong with you?
That car shook from side to side.
Nice.
But basically,
I like it.
My mother says to me, listen, be home by like 11. Don't come home too late. So as a little joke, I'm like, sure, I'll be there at like 10:59, you know. Mm. Little did I know, I will be back the morning after.
Yeah.
I walk in and she goes, oh. She just shakes her head and she walks out. I was like, oh, Lord.
Uh-oh.
On Mother's Day. So I was like, got her too hungover the whole day. So she didn't enjoy that at all.
Well, there we go. So Sia's Mother's Day was a disaster.
Didn't like any of my gifts. Nothing.
I don't buy gifts for Mother's Day. I think that's bullshit. Because why should you get a birthday present, right?
Yeah.
And you get some other important days in the year, if you Christmas. Celebrate Christmas. Yeah. But you don't need to be buying presents on Mother's Day, really. Or Father's Day or any other stupid commercial day. Because they're just trying to get you to spend money.
But Father's Day is the only day you can buy those horrible socks and ties
for
your dad.
And trust me, rope. He'll be okay without them. Yes, soap on a rope. What a ridiculous idea that is.
Also, in 2016, we don't know how to show appreciation without giving something. Or like a gift or something that can last forever.
Nah, spend a bit of time with a person. Tell them that you care about them. That's way more important, right?
But then we go do that and we sit on our phone for the full period of the time.
Well, you try and not do that. That would be a good move. Someone just sent me, Balaz, just sent me a picture. What's up with all the hipsters? And it's a picture from some bar or Shabin or cafe or whatever it is. And there's like a white hipster and a black hipster, and they're all wearing these like tracksuit pants. It's almost like an EFF t-shirt the guy's got on or something. And they're all on their phones, so none of them are talking to each other. It makes you kind of wonder why anyone bothers going out at all anymore.
Oh, that's just what Flex said.
Yeah. And Omar says, tracksuit pants should only be worn to gym, East Rand Mall, and a wedding in Brakpan. That's it. Everywhere else, it's unacceptable.
This is coming from a guy who basically lives in skinny jeans.
Yeah.
I don't know if you take him that seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Damn.
Ben is a bitch, huh? When Ben's sick, he's a real bitch.
He's very very stern, is that Roman? Very, very stern individual.
Well, if you did anything exciting that you want to tell us about, then call us. Let us know what you got up to. This week's going to be... I don't know. We've been so lazy the last couple of weeks in South Africa. I really hope we can get some productivity going. I really feel like everybody's just in a little bit of a rut at the moment. I get the idea that, you know, there isn't a huge amount of motivation. And please believe me, if there isn't an incentive, if there isn't a stick and a carrot in your life, you're a disaster. There needs to be the stick, as in, if I don't produce, if I'm not useful, if I don't add value to the world, I'm going to end up poor, which is the stick. And the carrot is that you can make money, you can change the world, you can do exciting things. But people just, this whole idea of self-motivation is nonsense. Very few people I know that could call themselves self-motivated.
Yeah.
Most people are only doing it because there's material gain. And that's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think that's sensible. Because if you don't have some carrot and stick in your life, you're just ambling along mindlessly in it for the ride.
See, but that's why so often it's more about self-discipline than self-motivation.
True. No, it's absolutely true. So which one do you think you have? Yeah, depends what day you find out, yeah. Right? Like on a good day, yeah, today I'm very motivated.
Exactly. Then on some days you don't have either.
Right. Okay, we're going to get straight into Ben's sport in the next couple of minutes, and we will be on to Anthea after that with the money and plenty of other good stuff between now and then. So don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com, your chance to join us. You know how to do that. All you have to do is give us a call.
The Jawsy Urban Trail and Obstacle Run is back on the 28th of May. Challenge your friends. Challenge your family. Enter the 12 or 18 kilometer adventure or 6 kilometer fun run. Whether you want the scenic route or the adventurous route, the choice is yours. With nothing stopping you, it's go time. The Hollard Jura, brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Enter at jawsyadventure.co.za.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleeper, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleeper on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleeper on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's the CEO Sleep Out ZA.co.za.
CliffCentral.com.
I seen your girl post a BM. So I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Goes down in the DM. It go down in the DM.
Ben loves this song. It's his favorite song now.
Snapchat media.
Why did you play that?
Yo Gotti, down in the DM. I felt I needed a bit of music.
Just run me through the thought process to have that
no
song.
No thought process. Saw the song, thought, I need that. You don't believe me at all.
What is it?
I've lost my mind.
Yeah, I think you really have.
It's Yo Gotti, down in the DM. No?
I just think he could have slept in that day. That's all.
Ben, it's an important song about how you can DM somebody. And then you can get things happening. Shit can go down, right? That's what it is. Sia, please explain this to him.
It goes down in the DMs.
Right.
Who knows what goes, what.
All the exciting stuff happens in the DM.
What pictures are sent.
Right.
You know, I like being educated on the show. I feel the show teaches me things. It makes me a more rounded human being. But the fact that that's gone completely, I wouldn't say over my head, because that would suggest it's lofted it some way.
Yeah.
But I've missed that. I'm happy.
You see, you just don't have interesting DMs. You know who I spoke to on the DM the other day?
Okay, tell us.
Is he confirmed for Thursday?
Let me look at the calendar. Not yet.
Oh, okay, then I'm not going to talk about it yet.
Oh,
down in the DM.
Are you speaking to the person who made that song?
No, but I would like to have Yo Gotti.
Is this one of interesting guests you spoke about last week?
There are a couple. We're lining them up. Don't worry. It's not going to get less interesting from here on in. It's going to get more interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
That Yo Gotti song, It's all about his love for women with expensive taste.
Oh, really? So it's not about the DM at all?
I see your girl post her BM, which is BMW.
Right.
So I hit her in the DM, which is direct message.
Yes, that's what
he's now
we got.
Interested.
Oh, right. So that's how he shows an interest in women.
That's what the song's about.
Okay.
Now, see, now all the other producers should just give up. I mean, this guy's hit the pinnacle, hasn't he? I mean, that's it.
Shut up, Ben.
We should just forget Biggie.
No, never. All right, let's get into the sport. What do you got for us, Karpinski?
A lot of football, Gareth. Today on The Bounce Show at 10 a.m. right here on Cliff Central. It's basically a football show. There's so much because you've got the leagues, you've got the cups, and they're all getting to that final stage where people are either cheering or crying. It's really quite beautiful. But for the sport this morning, right now, I'm going to start with some rugby. The Crusaders are now the top team in the Australasian log, which is the top team in the whole tournament. 38-5, they thrashed the Reds on Friday. Brumbies did similar kind of things to the Bulls, 23-6, they won that one. The Bulls were just kind of nowhere, and the Brumbies just strangled the crap out of them. Saturday, the Sunwolves were back to losing ways. They hosted the lackluster Force, but got walloped by them, 22-40 in the end. The Chiefs, they lost finally. They lost to the defending champion Highlanders. Now, the Highlanders have a fantastic record against the Chiefs. It is now their fifth successive win. That freak of nature and Dolo came back, and he scored two tries. 26-13, the Highlanders winning there.
Right.
It definitely shakes things up, but I still believe it's either going to be the Chiefs or the Crusaders who are going to win this in the end. Waratahs 21-6, too strong for the Cheetahs. And then probably the surprise of the weekend for me, even more so than the Highlanders winning so comfortably, was the fact that the Sharks beat the Hurricanes 32-15. Now, the Hurricanes thrashed the Lions at Lion Country, Joburg. The Sharks, they were plucky away, you could say that. They had some, you know, personal dramas, but they were pretty good overseas as far as they were competitive throughout. They came home, though, and you got to think the Hurricanes were always going to beat them. But 32-15 was the final score there. Essentially, 29 unanswered points around halftime onwards for the Sharks. JP Peterson scored twice. Pat Lambie made a successful return to the team. So suddenly it's looking really good for the Sharks, because if they get all the players back, okay, Marcel Kutze is out for the whole season.
Yep.
But having Lambie back is a big deal. But at the same time, that new guy, April, that young fly half, he's been brilliant. And he was brilliant again on Saturday. He started. So between the two of them, they got the flyoff stocks are really looking good at the Sharks right now. And who knows where this result can take them, because it really could springboard into something else. They just showed a lot of enterprise finally. You know, they're always going to be a tough, burly side at the Sharks. But they decided to keep the ball in hand a lot more of the weekend, kicked it away a lot less. Absolutely bossed the breakdowns, because that's where the Hurricanes killed the Lions. They were all over them in the set pieces. This week, though, they never got the ascendancy. And 32-15 was the final result. Good on them. So, Kings, they lost 18-34 to the Blues. Predictable. And that was rugby from the weekend. So now football. La Liga is probably the most exciting finish to the league, because three teams were in the race for the title. Well, it's now down to two. Atletico lost to the worst team in all of La Liga, Levante. Levante are already relegated. So they're going down to a league where they'll probably be watched by salami salesmen and a couple of dogs. So they're out of it, but they won. They beat Atletico.
Salami salesmen and a couple of dogs.
Madrid and Barcelona, the other two teams in the hunt, well, they won. Madrid winning 3-2 and Barcelona winning 5-0. Barcelona thrash Espanyol.
Yes, tell us about that.
Luis Suarez getting a brace, Lionel Messi with a beautiful free kick. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much in the power seats now win. So if you look at the final fixtures, Deportivo La Coruña, they'll take on Madrid.
Doesn't that sound like it should be a song?
Yeah, pretty much.
Deportivo La Coruña. No?
Or just a special kind of olive oil. And then Granada will host Barcelona. So that's the final match. So Barcelona are a point ahead of Madrid. Atletico are out because they are now 3 points behind Barcelona. So I can't see Granada losing this one. So you got to think Barcelona very much the pound seats to win that one. Deservedly so. They've been knocked out of the Champions League. So they're bound to win one or the other. In the EPL, that is the English Premier League, well, Leicester finally got their hands on the trophy, which is very much theirs. They did so after thrashing Everton 3-1. Now, if Everton doesn't have a new manager by the end of this, then I will eat my, I don't know.
Tracksuit pants.
I'll eat my tracksuit pants. Yeah, he's pretty much gone. Because if Everton couldn't win the FA Cup, they're pretty much gone. Other results, now the relegation battle is where all the eyes are now. So Norwich is in that hunt, and they lost to Man United. So boo-hoo, probably going to go down. Bournemouth, West Brom, they're both safe. Crystal Palace, Stoke, same for them. Aston Villa, Newcastle, that was another relegation match. That was all eyes were upon. And Aston Villa managed to draw with Newcastle. Very stubborn resistance there. So Newcastle were going pretty well. They had some nice momentum. But now because they dropped points away to Aston Villa and Sunderland beat Chelsea 3-2, suddenly it's out of Newcastle's hands whether they stay up or not. So they were hoping that Sunderland would cock up there, but Sam Allardyce's men did nothing of the sort. So now they've got a game in hand on Newcastle, mm-hmm. and they're a point ahead. So Aston Villa's gone. Norwich essentially gone as well. That's 31 points. Then you've got Newcastle. They've played 37 on 34 points. And then Sunderland, they've played 36 on 35 points. So essentially Newcastle has to win their last match and then hope that Sunderland just really, everything falls flat on them. Otherwise, you've got two major teams leaving the English Premier League, Aston Villa and Newcastle. They've been stalwarts of the league for quite some time. Huge football-playing clubs, but they could be both out of it. Now, Middlesbrough, they're up, as is Burnley, and then the playoff for the third person. Anyway, onto the PSL, because now the relegation battle there is just as exciting. So we know Sundowns, they won. Easy peasy. But now Maritzburg United and Tucks, the University of Pretoria, now they're locked in a bit of a battle here. Now whoever finishes bottom goes straight down to the National First Division, so that's out of it. Now Maritzburg United managed to get a 0-0 draw with Pirates, which is pretty good, but they're still in the automatic relegation slot. So they tied points with Tucks. They've both got two games to go now.
Mm-hmm.
Maritzburg has to play Ajax at home, and then they're away to Cosmos. That's the two remaining fixtures. Then Tux, they're away to Polokwane, and then they're at home to Arrows. So they've got a much tougher run between them and the finish line. So they're both languishing at the bottom of the league. Now to look at the other people who are coming up. So that the first team in the National First Division, if my computer, there we go. The first team in the First Division goes through. So that's Baroka FC. Now these guys you might know because they've done so well in the FA Cup, the Nedbank Cup in the semis there. So Baroka will go straight up. Then we've got Highlands Park and Mbombela United. Okay, so those two teams. And what happens is that whoever finishes in 15th place in the PSL will then go into a playoff between them. So you get three teams vying for that final position. So very, very exciting in that, unlike in the English Premier League, you don't go straight down. You can still fight for your life. And those are some of the most hotly contested and often the most corrupted matches you'll ever see. The referees for these matches have to meet at undisclosed separate areas to be given team sheets assigned to the matches, because what people do is that when they find out who the refs are for these games, suddenly they get to them. So it's very hush-hush, very secretive. It's a very interesting time of the season, this, because there's so much at stake. Like, the difference between playing the National First Division and playing the PSL is massive. And this is still not the biggest leagues in the world, but it is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be very interesting how that sort of breaks down over the next couple of weeks. May 21st, the weekend there, we'll find the last of the fixtures. In Confederations Cup, Sundowns are still in one of the big African Cups, and they were going pretty badly against Madima. They were 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go. They managed to win 3-1. Amazing fight back there with three goals in 7 minutes, basically. So Sundowns looking really good. They got a nice advantage to take away into the second league, where they'll go to the West African rivals pretty soon. And that was pretty much it for your football. Into tennis. Now, we spoke last week about who's going to win the French Open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thoughts are that left arm Nadal is doing all right. He looks like he's back to his own ways, but he's kind of stuttered again. So I think he hasn't quite got the stamina to go through. His best days are definitely past him, much like his hairline. It's not what it used to be. So I don't think he'll be it. Now, Andy Murray will always lay claim to every single one of the Grand Slams. He's a real grinder. He's a real athlete. But over the weekend, he was beaten in the final by none other than Novak Djokovic. I reckon Murray has nightmares about Djokovic. He looks under the bed for Djokovic at night. He's been often caught screaming his name in the middle of the night as well. Because it just seems, no matter what Andy does, Novak just does it better. Shame. It's just, that's just what it is, unfortunately. So two sets to one win for Djokovic at the Madrid Open. And you got to think that he's come so close to the French Open before. Still never won that. He's won every other Grand Slam multiple times. Never won the French. And he's looking pretty well primed here. So Madrid Open title for him. Which then leads us into the final story I want to get into, Gareth. It is the Mayweather versus McGregor fight. Now, as you might think, this is a very strange headline because Floyd Mayweather is retired and Conor McGregor is an MMA fighter.
Yes.
What business would they have in the ring together? Well, Floyd Mayweather Because
they've had beef for a long time. The two of them trade insults.
They hate each other. I mean, you know that Floyd Mayweather was offering $1 million to anyone who would beat Conor McGregor. So when that Nate Diaz beat him, Mayweather gave $1 million.
Nice.
Yeah. So Mayweather wanted to kind of have some sort of, you know, he's always going to retire from boxing, and he did so unbeaten. I think it was 49-0 was his record there. But the whole thing is that he has all the hype and all the attention to create these big money fights. So one of them was going to be, I mean, Ronda Rousey was talking about how she wants to fight him back in her days when she was invincible. Now she's got a mouthful of broken teeth, so she's not saying anything. So that was always going to be a sideshow. It was never going to happen. But Conor McGregor, however, he was always stoking the fire. So now Mayweather is revealed. He basically was the one creating the rumors around having this sort of cross-discipline fight.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. Mayweather said he won't do it for anything less than $100 million, and McGregor was talking about this being the billion-dollar fight that everybody wants to see. It's a fair point because everybody will want to watch this. This isn't the Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Why don't we just put all three of them in there? McGregor, Mayweather, and Ronda Rousey. Throw them all in there and let's see what happens.
And get Manny Pacquiao. I could make a tag team.
Yeah, all right, there we go.
And Donald Trump. Let's really make it a big deal. Anyway, so let's keep it quite serious because this might actually just happen. Now, Mayweather's 39 and McGregor's 27. So there's a lot. I mean, if you really look at it, in many ways, this fight should never happen. It's just silly. But when you look at it, Mayweather's a boxer, right? So he's very technical. If the fight stays on its feet, Mayweather can obviously still beat McGregor. The moment it gets on the floor, you're going to think McGregor's going to grapple the hell out of this guy and it'll be all over. He'll be tapping out in no time. So whether this goes ahead, and we got to think with McGregor kind of being in and out of UFC, is he going to stay in it? Is he not? UFC. You know, he was pulled out of this last one because he wouldn't go through with obligations around fighting. You know, you've got to be there for press engagements a week prior, that kind of stuff. You've got to go through press conferences, photo opportunities, all that kind of stuff. So McGregor might be out of it. He's already made so much money. He doesn't really need the platform anymore. If he can get a massive $100 million payday for both of these guys, this is the ultimate goal, the ultimate dream. And it will be one of the greatest sporting spectacles ever, because can you just think, if they had announced that this fight will take place, I don't know, mid-November, this will be as hyped up as the U.S. presidential Olympics, as elections.
Election, yeah, absolutely.
It really will. And even if it is one-sided and it lasts all of a minute,
right,
this will be the biggest thing in sport this year if it were to happen.
Well, go ahead. Come on, make it happen.
I think they both should, because it'll be the final thing.
Mubs, let's just say yes.
End all the beef.
Yeah,
yes.
Go for it.
We approve this thing.
Mubs and I have approved, so let the wheels start turning, for God's sake. What more do you need?
I'm all for it. Get in there.
Right.
That's pretty much it for the sport today, Gareth. Don't forget, Bounce Show, 10 a.m. live this morning on Monday.
That's right. All right. Excellent. Very, very good. We're going to cross to Anthea Gardner, who, of course, gives us the money shot every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Right, she works hard for the money. Morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. I can't imagine that there would have been so many versions of that song.
Oh, you have no idea. I got like 9,000 more that you haven't even heard yet.
Oh, wow.
Now, how was your Mother's Day yesterday with your mom?
Oh, very nice. A bit of a family breakfast.
Nice.
And then I spent most of the afternoon working.
Excellent.
Really living up to my...
Excellent. At least someone was working yesterday.
No, but I'm in Cape Town and the weather's so nice. I can't actually believe it.
Yeah, because they had a very horrible cold snap just a couple of weeks ago. Now it seems that everything's okay down there again.
Yeah.
Very unfair.
Really beautiful. Timed it well, I have.
Mm. All right. So what do we need to know?
Okay. So, very tough markets at the moment. The JSE was down over 1% on Friday. Mm. And so for the week, it closed 3% lower. All the indices except gold was lower on Friday. Resources was down 68 basis points. Financials, 89. Poor industrials were down 1%. So like the Naspers of the world. Naspers actually really struggling to stay above 2,000 rand a share. It's now trading
that.
About 1,902 last traded. So for kind of year to date, it's down 7%. And for the year, it's only up 6%. So that 7% decline so far this year has taken kind of the wind out of Naspers' sales. I mean, longer term, it's still fine. The share's up 83% for the last 2 years, 300% for the 5 year period. And I do think it'll get back to 2,200 rand a share, kind of that's as high as it's been. So I'm hoping for a 15% increase, but
there was a point. There was a point in March where they reached very close to that.
Yes. So again, it's been quite volatile. You know, so all the way up and then all the way down, but just struggling, I think.
Okay, well, let's talk about the weaker rand, because I think for a lot of people, we need to have a rand hedge strategy from here on in.
So this is the thing with last week, right? The rand was down 5% for the week. And you would think that a weaker rand, because the top 40 stocks, 70% of revenue is generated offshore. So if the rand weakens by 5%, it's very simplistically, you should expect to see a 3.5% increase in the value of these shares. So it's 5% times 70%, right? Mm-hmm. Because the companies are suddenly more valuable. They're generating more revenue when they translate it back into rands. But somehow this is just not working. And I've noticed on the last couple of weeks, this rand hedge strategy is not perfect. And what I'm thinking is that if the rand falls on global growth worries, weaker demand for resources, or general sell-off in emerging markets, so think China, then it's as if our market takes a knock and almost dismisses the rand, the weaker rand. But when the rand falls because of local drivers, such as politics, or on the back of a stronger developed market currency, such as the dollar, then suddenly our market tends to be quite resilient or buoyant almost.
Yeah.
So we're having to add another layer of analysis into this rand hedge strategy at the moment. I mean, so where are we now? I think it'll be interesting because we had U.S. payroll numbers on Friday and they really disappointed. The market was expecting to see a print of 200,000, but only 160,000 jobs were created in April, which really is quite a bit less than the revised number for March, which was 208,000. They were also hoping for a decrease in the unemployment number, but it seems to be very sticky at 5%. And now the market is indicating that there's only a 4% chance that the Fed will raise interest rates in June. So, in fact, there's almost a chance they might not increase interest rates this year at all. And that will translate into a weaker dollar, which will translate into a stronger rand for us. That's why I'm tying these two together, because, again, if we're now expecting a stronger rand, what happens to our rand hedge strategy? It looks like it may not work perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to watch very carefully this year.
All right. Well, we'll all have to be watching carefully then. just to go back to the markets for a second, Barclays, can we talk about them?
Oh, yes. They were actually the standout performer on Friday. They were up 1.4% in a negative market. That's quite something. And all the other banking shares were down. You know, financials were down almost 1%. So something's going on there. And I think what it is that because their dividend yield is now 7%, people are buying into the story. So like when we're talking about kind of where we're going with the South African market and how hard it is to print double digit increases in share value, and you're getting a stock with 7% dividend yield, you'll take it. You're quite happy to take it. And then on Saturday, Bob Diamond, who is the guy trying to put together the consortium to buy mm-hmm. Barclays Group Africa, the ex-Barclays PLC or UK CEO, mm-hmm. he was speaking at the London Business School at an Africa Investment Summit and said that he wanted to build the premier financial services business in Africa. I mean, he's not dreaming small, is he?
No, it's pretty. It's a lofty ambition, but I like it.
So do I, actually. I'd really like to see someone build another strong African brand. You know, we had SAB, Safaricom, Dangote, De Beers, Anglo-American. So it would be nice to do that. Whether or not he can pull it off is probably a good question. He seems to think, and he's not the first to think this, that we could expect real growth out of Africa in the future. A couple of people have had their fingers burned, but if he can pull it off, why not, right?
Couple of people have their fingers burned, I mean, we're talking Standard Bank and MTN, and you know, there were all these tremendously positive predictions for how things would unfold in Africa. It hasn't gone exactly according to plan.
No, that's exactly it. It's kind of it has its moments of growth and then comes off. And when it comes off so much more than developed markets. So it's that volatility thing, you know. So we have huge growth and then huge falls.
Right.
And that's the problem. Talk about big brands or big African, South African brands. SAB Miller, the story it's a little bit never-ending. The Competition Commission on Friday said that it had missed its deadline again. I think this is the third time now. Mm-hmm. And it's extended the deadline to May the 12th. Now, I get that this is a big transaction and it's very complicated, but the Australian Competition Commission have approved their part of the deal. The European Commission obviously are still working on it. And actually, you could see the European Commission haven't approved it, but definitely things are in play, which is why Anheuser-Busch sold off Peroni and Grolsch a couple of weeks ago. And I think, you know, SAB or Anheuser-Busch have already committed to the things that the Competition Commission wanted. So they've said that they're going, Anheuser-Busch are going to invest $66 million. They're not going to retrench anyone. They're going to support farmers, water purification, and all that. There's one thing that is interesting, though. It's the SAB Zenzele scheme, which is the BE vehicle they created in 2010. There's about 42,000 shareholders, and it's employees of SAB. It's obviously SAB South Africa specific. 42,000 employees, and includes kind of their distribution, because they have this, distribution. So it's not SAB employees that are distributing the beer or driving the trucks. Kind of, it's outsiders, you know, independents.
What do you call them? Outsourced people.
That's it. Right. There you go. Yes, thank you. And SAB has, in this time, since 2010, has already paid out 613 million rand in dividends to BE shareholders of this, what they call Zenzele scheme. AB InBev, I can't imagine them looking at it and going, well, what do you want us to do about it? Because I think SAB shareholders or the Zenzele shareholders are going, well, if you're an SAB shareholder, like a pure shareholder, like anybody can be, and there's no color differentiation in this.
Right.
Anheuser-Busch will obviously pay you when they buy the company. They'll pay you in cash, or they'll give you AB InBev shares, but not the Zenzele shares. And the Zenzele scheme matures in 2020, so it's got 4 more years to run. So can you see how complicated it becomes all of a sudden? It's not like Anheuser-Busch are just going to come in, buy your shares, and off they go. What are they going to do about these Zenzele shares, I think, is quite important.
Well, it sounds tremendously complicated. As if business isn't hard enough, then, you know, all of this stuff has to happen in the background too.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's really it's really just creating a lot of work for lawyers for governments. Because suddenly we're having to put all kinds of things into play that really shouldn't be about anything but the market.
Exactly.
It does
make it very complicated.
Let's just cast our eyes overseas briefly for US payroll numbers, because I know you were talking about them last week. How did they come in?
So this is the number I mentioned. They were expecting 200,000, but only 160,000 jobs were created in April. And the world's not growing, or the US in this case, is not growing as quickly as we would like it. The impact is that there could be a delay in the Fed raising interest rates. And then, of course, the knock-on effect of that. I think today we've got some numbers out of China, which should also help. Because all we're trying to do when we look at these things is put together a picture and kind of see where we're going to get demand or where we're going to find growth. And, of course, we know that even though China's growing at about 6.8%, It's kind of faltering, or it's not really growing anymore, or it's not those double-digit numbers we saw a couple of years ago. And even the question around, is that number real? So the U.S. payrolls number is just another one of those signs. And the fact that it disappointed on Friday, so it makes people worry. I see Asia's mixed this morning. So I guess we're probably going to open up lower today, especially with the Rand a little bit stronger. It's around 1483 at the moment. I think what's interesting about what we're going through, Gareth, is that there's very different kind of economic cycles. And one of the things at some stage we must talk about is what sort of investors are we? Because there's generally kind of two types. There's a value or a growth investor. So A value investor is somebody who invests in resources because the shares look so cheap based on their fundamentals. But at the same time, there's no real catalyst to move these shares up. So, you know, you're going to wait for the increased payroll number or the high China growth number before these shares really rally. And we've certainly seen the value investors win at the beginning of this year because, well, they've
resources have been incredible. Yeah.
They've waited 5 years, though. That's the problem. Whereas the growth stocks like Naspers, which is actually has been expensive on a PE relative basis for years now. Like, who would have thought you'd buy a share that is trading on 100 times PE, price earnings ratio? It's mad. Incredible. Because what that means, that what a price earnings means, is that the price you're paying for the share is 100 times more than the earnings the company is making on that share. So in other words, you have to wait 100 years for that share to pay back what you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Which seems, it seems a bit mad, right?
It is mad.
Well, but the kind of flip side of it is one that the markets are always pricing forward. So they're always looking to the future and saying, how is this company able to grow? And with Naspers, it's such a good example of a growth stock because it really has stepped up and it keeps re-rating. And so actually it has delivered that 100 times, well, okay, it's actually not maybe 100 times, maybe.
Close.
Yeah, well, 50 times PE. So if you had bought it, let's say 5 years ago, for example, it's re-rated so much that it actually has delivered, let's call it 50 times the earnings of when you bought it. So the earnings have increased so much that actually it's shortened the time period for your payback. And then some, because the share in 5 years is up 300%.
Right.
So there's this thing of between value and growth. Okay, so we have to decide which one we are. I'm definitely a growth investor. Warren Buffett's very much a value investor. But he hasn't always been. He has made some mistakes. So it's a matter of kind of where are you in the cycle? Because there's almost this question of, well, should we be buying resources because the value trigger is about to happen? So I don't think so. I think we can wait a bit longer. I think we'll see it come off. I think we're still very much in the growth phase. And then, of course, there's the momentum play, you know. So as these triggers come into play or the catalysts are happening, you'll see the momentum kick these shares up.
Do you think that we've seen the top of these resources at this stage, or do you think that it's still going
for
now? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in the short term, in the next couple of months, I think I'm expecting to see resources come off again. And I like to see solid proof that something is happening in the market, that fundamentals have changed.
Right.
And there isn't any. So the U.S. jobs number on Friday, that's not a growth number. The Chinese manufacturing, the U.K. manufacturing last week, those were not growth numbers.
No.
Those are quite the opposite, actually.
Right.
And there's no real proof. Mm-hmm.
We've got one question and one last thing that we should have really started with this because this is quite big news. I know for Pravin Gordhan, this has been the most important battle of all. Moody's are going to keep us the same.
Ah, yes. So on Friday evening, after market closed, Moody's confirmed that they're keeping our credit rating the same with a negative outlook. So we remain two levels above sub-investment grade.
Right.
But Moody's wasn't the big one, right? So S&P is the one that's got us just above junk status. And they're supposed to review us in June. So what does it mean that Moody's are keeping our credit rating the same? I think it's positive. Well, it's obviously not bad. it should impact a little bit, or it should give us an indication of whether or not S&P, Standard & Poor's, are going to downgrade us in June.
Okay.
Moody's made mention of two things. Kind of, first of all, they said that the drought and electricity outages they understood were once-off occurrences, and that's that they're kind of giving us a bit of leeway there. So they're saying that's not going to happen again. You'll be fine. They did warn that the downgrade could be triggered if economic growth falters, and if government is unable to implement the changes it promised earlier on in the year. They did also make mention specifically of the Concord decision against Suma and the reinstatement of corruption and fraud charges as positives. Treasury, South African Treasury, were very quick to respond. They released a statement on Saturday saying that government was working hard to ensure all the promises they made by the, in the budget speech and to investors, you know, they did this big roadshow offshore, that they would uphold their promises. So the Rand doesn't obviously trade very much on the weekend. So there was no immediate impact. But this morning at 14.83, I think, you know, on Friday, the Rand was 15.15, which is just unbelievable. A week between 14.12, and I thought it was going to go below 14. A week later, it's trading at 15.15. It's almost mad. So the Rand 14.83 this morning, it's a nice little boost from kind of, I think, payroll numbers, a weaker dollar, and the Moody's credit rating staying the same.
I also noticed our president was at Eskom last week, and he also paid a visit to SAA as well, and he said, no more load shedding. It's never, we will never, ever have load shedding again.
I saw that, and I thought, oh, I didn't know he was an engineer.
Yeah. I also don't know if you should make promises like that, because it's going to come back to bite you.
Well, exactly.
Rather just say we're working hard on this. Don't promise things like that. You trip yourself up.
Absolutely. So Moody's and Standard & Poor's probably just looked at him shaking their heads going,
Just whenever he opens his mouth, everything just goes south. You know what? It's like the money goes in the opposite direction to President Jacob Zuma's mouth. We've discussed this before. One last thing is a question. This is from Malusi. He says, listening to cliffcentral.com, Anthea, what about the Capitec case? The you know, they're being sued. Could losing hurt them? And obviously, could it hurt the share price?
Absolutely, yes. That it's quite a big thing. The implication of Capitec being sued because they're potentially a payday lender. So one, being a payday lender is not in their brief. It's illegal. And secondly, for me, the fundamental issue is kind of look at African Bank. So we were worried about African Bank. They collapsed because they made loans that people couldn't repay. Uh-huh. So if Capitec are doing the same, it's a huge issue. I've already looked at this, though, and I don't think Capitec are payday lenders. I don't think kind of that they are charging extraordinary fees. I think potentially there could be one or two cases where it has happened, but they've got really – Capitec have got fantastic risk systems in place. And so the difference between them and African Bank is really – how they provision for these bad debts going forward. And that's kind of the thing that worries me. But I think the Capitec are fine.
All right. That's about it. We've got very little time left of that. So thank you, Anthea. We will see you in the studio next week. We will speak to you tomorrow.
Super. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Have a good day.
Fantastic. There we go. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. Every day around about the same time. Coming up in a little while, Mavs' news. We're going to check in on all the stories that matter. Everything you need to know. Everything that that is important with Mabali Moloi. Coming up next. Take your calls, of course. 0861-555-189. You can call us about anything at all. You know what I feel like? I feel like we need to... It's Monday. We need one of these. CliffCentral.com.